12:04 in the morning. I'm Mike Juhas, and on the other end of our telephone line, if I can move the microphone over here, is Eric Corley.
Yowzer.
He certainly is there. He's coming through loud and clear tonight.
Hi, folks. How are you?
Hi,
Robin. How are you? I wasn't expecting to see you here.
I can't see you, but I didn't expect to hear you either.
Oh.
How's Washington?
It's a nice surprise, I guess.
Oh, thank you. How's D.C.?
How's D.C.? Washington, D.C.? Oh, it's a nice place, the same as I saw it last time.
Uh-huh. How is the convention going?
Not quite as wild as last year. I have a strange feeling that this hotel might even let us back in next year.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah, that means it's not going very well at all, but I'm meeting quite a few interesting people.
Well, that's good.
But the riots of last year just aren't being repeated. Of course, we still have Saturday night.
Yes, let's not forget that fact.
Now, wait a minute, Robin. Whose show is this anyway?
Oh, sorry, Mike. I'm supposed to leave now.
No, you can stay if you'd like, but this is a personal phone call I'm having with Eric Corley, my co-host, and you bounce in. Oh, I tell you, isn't life wonderful?
Oh, yes.
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 Robin says so, too.
How's the weather up there in Stony Brook?
Well, it's 3 degrees
Celsius. Cares.
What's that?
I said, who cares? Everyone talks about the weather all the time. I don't really care about the weather.
Oh, no?
Just saying it to fill time, really.
Well, perhaps the folks at home care.
Oh, okay. Well, they live in Stony Brook or in the area.
Yeah. It is 3 degrees Celsius. That's roughly...
I couldn't care less.
What?
I couldn't care less, though.
Listen, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to put you on hold. Hang on.
No.
While Eric Corley's on hold, I might as well just say it's 3 degrees Celsius. That's 37 Fahrenheit.
Hold. I can't believe that. You put me on hold.
Good night, Eric.
Oh, good night, Robin.
Good night, Robin. See you next Tuesday at 3 p.m., right?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Well, Eric, you there?
I am here.
Okay. Now, you know, we got a whole bunch of things lined up for tonight.
Do we?
We got an interview with Larry Stoller from a group that's trying to save a jazz station in the Southern Connecticut area.
Oh, yes. This is very interesting.
This has very important ramifications for anybody in the Long Island area, or anywhere else for that matter.
And it's a battle that has not been fought just once. It's been fought a couple of times and lost most of the time.
Yeah, for different radio stations, yes. This is a different one. He'll be coming up in around 10 minutes or so, we hope, if he's out there. He's not here.
Oh, he's in Connecticut.
It's going to be a telephone interview. I guess he figures it'll be cheaper to call than to drive down with the tolls and stuff.
Probably would be.
Especially at this time of night.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes. So, last year when we did this, when you were down in Washington for one of these... Now, what is this? An intercollegiate broadcast system?
I believe so. I believe that's what the S stands for, system.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a system. Yeah, we've got broadcasters from all over the country, non-commercial broadcasters from all over the country, just coming together and having various little groups on various things that non-commercial stations do.
I see. And it's not quite as wild as last year?
Well, of course, it's still early. You see, I'm not really staying out all that late because I didn't get much sleep last night. As I didn't get that much sleep the night I came down last year either.
Uh-huh.
But tomorrow night's a different story, I guess.
I see. Are you going to write things on...
If I recall, the major incidents didn't occur until Saturday night last year, too, so maybe I'm jumping the gun.
Well, that was your last night there, right?
Yes. Yes, and that was our last night there.
Yeah.
The hotel had to give back about $10,000 worth of receipts to people in the other part of the hotel.
Oh, whose nights were disturbed by you folks?
Destroyed. Well, yeah, it wasn't us folks. We were minding our own business. We didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
And consequently, we're the ones who almost got into trouble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a long story, but that's the way things usually work. The real troublemakers got away with everything, and we just, we wouldn't close our door, and for that we almost got arrested. The reason we didn't close our door was because the fire alarms, which were going off all over the building, weren't working on our floor, so we wanted to hear the yells and screams of people if there were fires, but the hotel management disagreed.
But that was last year.
That was last year, different hotel, different place, totally different circumstances.
Do you remember the security people from that other hotel?
Yes, I do.
Are you going to go back and visit them and say hi?
I might do that.
And renew old friendships?
Yes, I might come back and say hi to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Various ways.
Last year when we did this, you had all sorts of sirens and stuff going by because I called you up at a payphone or something.
Oh, yes, we were outside a French restaurant, I believe.
Mm-hmm, that you had just come back and you had gotten ripped off because of the crepes and stuff?
Yeah, it was awful. It really was terrible food. And as we were outside on the street corner, the whole procession of fire trucks came racing down the street. And
they certainly put on...
The telephone lines all the way up to Stony Brook and out over the air.
They certainly put on an impressive show for you folks, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it was something else. We never did find out where the fire was, but it must have been a doozy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, now you're in your room now. Is that the idea?
Yes, I am. And yes.
Is there any other USB personalities there that would like to speak with us?
Well, Bill Franklin just walked through the door.
Going in or coming out?
Coming in.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he clears up his bruises a little bit, maybe he can say something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, remind him that he will be on the air, okay? Because I've heard him to have a terrible mouth.
Oh, yes. You've heard that, too, haven't you?
Yeah. You did bring plenty of soap that you can wash his mouth out with, right?
Yes. In fact, mm-hmm. He had to pull the car over once to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Got that totally out of hand.
Would you drive down in a big van or something?
Well, that's really pretty funny. We did drive down in a van from the university. When we got into the city, we made an interesting discovery. No parking garages take vans. We kept going into parking garage after parking garage, and it was the worst feeling because every time, without fail, somebody would step out of a hidden door somewhere and shake his head and point for us to go back out into the street where there was no parking anywhere. So we finally had to park in this really run-down-looking corner outside lot where the guy, tried to persuade us not to park there. And he said that surely if we parked there, our windows would be, quote, smashed, unquote.
Mm-hmm, I see.
In a good part of town, in other words.
I see.
Yeah, so, I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow when we look at our van if it's still there.
Well, you'll just have to park it on the other side of town and take the Washington Metro over to your hotel room there.
Yes, we've done that already. We took a long walk.
Isn't that a fun system?
Yeah.
That is really it feels like you're in a science fiction movie.
Oh, you know what happened to me today on that system? I bought a little ticket
mm-hmm.
on the machine. They're now 65 cents, by the way.
Oh, boy.
And I put three quarters in, and it registered 75 cents.
Right.
And I hit the minus button to bring it back down to 65 cents. However, instead of going down to 65 cents, it went up to 85 cents.
Oh.
And it stayed there, and I couldn't believe it. I finally beat the system.
Well, that's interesting. If anybody is heading down towards the Washington Metro area, I'm sure they...
It's the Capitol South Station, third machine over. You want to check it out. It's really... I think this machine's got something wrong with it. You might want to... go down there and get a $40 card or something. I'm sure you're riding for a little while.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know if any of our listeners will be down there in the next few hours. I'm sure the Washington Metro police are listening to this right now, and they're going to have that machine fixed within the next few minutes. So anybody down there will surely be out of luck.
Of course, the Metro's closed now. It's midnight.
Oh, yeah, they close it at certain times of the day, don't they? Even on a Friday night, it's supposed to be a real big swing in town.
Things aren't that poppy here in Washington.
Really?
We were walking down the streets before, and
I guess that's
not
true.
That much is happening.
I guess they have all these 90-year-old senators and 65, 80-year-old presidents and stuff like that, whatever.
Yeah. No, yeah, they have people like that walking
around. Yeah, yeah. Old people. Well, such is life.
But I haven't gotten as much of a positive sense from this city as I did the last time I was here. The last time I was here, I was struck by how friendly everybody was.
Oh, and they're not friendly this year?
This year they seem downright hostile.
Oh, boy.
I was watching...
Are you in the same...
Driving, people driving down the street, and within 3 minutes, I saw heard three different epithets used, towards other motorists, and it was pretty interesting. I mean... New York City, there seems to be sort of an unspoken harmony.
Yeah, that's true.
Washington seems, a lot of people seem really tense, nervous.
It's a good thing they don't speak their unspoken harmony. But now, are you in the same part of town as you were last year?
No, we're not.
Aha, that explains it.
No, not really, because we didn't spend much time. We weren't actually in town the last time. We were on the outskirts, but we walked around the same parts of town that we walked around in.
Uh-huh.
I may not be 100% on those viewpoints because I was only here for a few hours so far. I still have tomorrow to go through.
That's true.
It just seems as if there's a different spirit, and it doesn't seem quite as relaxed and carefree a place as it was last year.
Well, are you going to call us up later in the program tonight?
Would you like me to? I'm kind of tired. I might fall asleep, but I could try.
Well, sure. Why don't you try making it around 1 o'clock or so?
I suppose I could do that.
All right.
Would you like to say hi to Bill?
Does he have anything to say?
He has nothing to say.
Okay.
He said so much.
Well, such is life. Well, thanks for the report. Well, by the way, what is the weather like down there?
Well, let me take a look out our ninth floor window.
Mm-hmm.
I see the street below. I did see the moon before, but for some reason it's not there anymore.
Oh, well. Well, listen, we have to go.
Okay.
I have to move on to...
For calling and that kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
Say hi to everybody out there in Stony Brook.
All righty.
Kind of miss the place, you know. It's so far away.
Yes, it is. Okay, Eric.
All right, well, have a good interview and have fun with everything else. I hope the tripods arrived.
Oh, they did. They're in top form.
That's good to hear. Maybe I'll talk to you later on.
Okay, well, good night.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
music from Freddie Hubbard. It's from his album, a new album called Ride Like the Wind. And we just got it in just a couple of weeks ago. A song called Brigitte. Brigitte LaRue? No. This is the voice of Long Island on Radio Free Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley's not with us tonight, huh? Sadly, he's in Washington, D.C. Well, I don't know how sad that is. But we do have all sorts of different things going on. In fact, holding on our line right now is Larry Stoller. Larry, you there?
Yes.
Okay, could you explain who you are and your quest?
Okay, I am representing a group called the Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio. And our quest is to... the station is the only full-time commercial jazz station in the metropolitan area. It's based in... Stamford, Connecticut, and it's at 96.7 FM, for those that may not know of it, and is about to be sold. The license will be changing hands in about a week, and our quest is to work with the new owner and convince him that there is a viable audience there and to keep it in its current 24-hour jazz format.
Okay, now they've only been jazz full-time for, what, about a year or a year and a half or so, right?
They've been 24 hours a day since Valentine's Day of last year, and they were... They went 19 hours a day in October of 1980, and they started seven nights a week a month before. The interesting thing about that seven nights a week thing is it came just from doing it on weekends, and they went seven nights a week 6 days before the format changed from jazz to country on WRVR, which as no one knew of, including the announcers, and it was in many ways maybe a lucky break for WYRS, and because of the audience response to the station, they managed to eventually go 24 hours a day.
Have you been in contact with the management of the station?
Well, to a degree. We tried to buy time on the station to talk about our group and so forth, and we have not been able to, but we do not involve the management or the staff of the station because their jobs could be in jeopardy if we do that, nor do we involve the advertisers because we do not want to do anything that would cause any loss of money for the station, which would prove enough for a format change anyway.
Right. Now, has the station changed hands yet, or...?
The station, from good authority, will be changing hands this coming Thursday.
I see.
The FCC, the license mainly for the AM half, which is WSDC, has been challenged since 1969 on the grounds of the current owner of the station's, at that time, owned the two stations, and at that time was WSDC-FM, not WYRS, and two newspapers in the Stamford area. He was challenged on the grounds of too much media control and also on some political grounds that I'd rather not speak about here.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a long story short, in 1976, an administrative law judge at the FCC ruled in favor of the new owners, which are called, they're called Radio Stamford Incorporated. The current owner is called Western Connecticut Broadcasting Company. The current owner appealed the ruling, and Radio Stamford, instead of going through the long, drawn-out appeals process, purchased WSDC AM and WYRS FM for $1.8 million. And the commission ruled and published a decision for the agreement for the purchase of the stations on February 5th. And it's just been going through its final 30-day period for any public comment or any opposition to the sale.
Has there been any opposition?
No, there doesn't expect to be.
I see. Okay, so now, I was speaking with you a couple of days ago, and you mentioned that there has been no public comment on the new owners of any possible change in format.
That's correct, although we have seen articles in some publications indicating that there's a good possibility there will not be a format change, but we cannot assume that. You can obviously realize that from what has happened in commercial radio in the past few years. And the best example is the change from jazz to country in New York, the way it happened.
Yes.
We cannot assume that until we hear it per se. We did contact the new owner and try to hold a meeting with him, but he will not speak publicly with anyone until after the license has changed hands.
I see.
He has been interviewed and, you know, and so forth, but we cannot, as I said, we cannot take final word until we must prove that the audience is there.
Uh-huh. Now, if you have these figures off the top of your head, how well is this WYRS doing as far as commercial stations go? Are all their hours booked solid for time, and how well are they doing financially? Do you have any idea?
Well, the station, before they became a full-time jazz station, did what is called the block programming. And for anyone's wondering, that means different programs at different hours, different types of music at different hours, similar to a lot of non-commercial stations. It did not really have an identity, and therefore it broadcast non-profit public service announcements most of the time to fill up the time.
Uh-huh.
When it went jazz, it increased its advertising sixfold. Not all of its hours, I don't think all of its hours are filled up. However, it has increased. It is advertising a lot of clubs, restaurants, and there have been three or four record companies that have bought time on the station. And some of the advertising is network spots right now. They are an ABC FM affiliate. But they have increased their advertising sixfold, and they do consider it a successful format.
Hmm. That's very interesting. That's one thing that I was involved with a group trying to get a station to switch back to an old format. This was after the switch had been made. It was quickly. It was a station that had a rather diverse rock and jazz and folk kind of repertoire, and then they switched to this automated stuff. And they took the live DJs out and changed the whole sound of the radio station completely. And I think perhaps one of the major reasons that the station management perhaps did this was because they didn't hear anything from the public as to, well, we think what you have going is great. They didn't receive any letters or any correspondence indicating that the public was accepting the format. They became rather belligerent when they started getting a lot of letters saying what you're doing now isn't acceptable and we don't like it. Have you actually perused the station's public files to see the public sentiment on the station right now?
Yes, we have. The station has received letters and continues to receive letters as the word gets out that it is being sold from very concerned people throughout its coverage area in the metropolitan area, including major corporation in Stanford wrote a letter of support. The vice president of manufacturing sent a letter saying when he moved his company from Ohio, one of the best things he found was WYRS. And the station, this company, well, I can mention it, it's Champion International.
Mm-hmm.
Offered a series of lunchtime concerts for a month on Wednesdays in the, they have a branch of the Whitney Museum in their building. And the station sponsored it, and I did meet the individual who wrote the letters, and he was fully behind the station and its efforts and programming and so forth. They have received, as I said, a lot of letters, and more than ever are coming in. The problem, though, at the same time, is that with the fact that we have not been able to, really get the word out on the station about this, a lot of people are not aware of the fact that this station is being sold. I think a good percentage of the WYRS audience to this day is not aware of it. We have taken ads out about this, and I have gone on, I was on one other radio station besides this one, which was WPKN.
Oh, yes, our friends across the puddle there.
Right, and we're trying to get on non-commercial stations, and pass the word around. And we are also, since December 6th, we have launched a full-scale petition drive and letter-writing campaign through our organization to Mr. Francis Donahue, who is buying the station, and to the radio station, and so forth. We were trying to get the word out to as many people as possible. We know the support is there. The station knows the support is there through their phone calls, through the input they've had, in the past, and it is a very devoted, unique audience that listens to jazz, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah. Now, in case any individual in our listening area would like to get in touch with that individual, now, what was his name again?
His name is Alphonsus J. Donahue. A-L-P-H-O-N-S-U-S. Alphonsus J. Donahue. The name of the company is Radio Stanford Incorporated.
And do you have an address on them?
Yes, it's 120 Cummings Point Road, Cummings, Stanford 06902. I would like to give you the station's address and our address also.
Yes, please do.
If any of you out there send letters to Mr. Donahue, whether you listen to the station a couple hours a day or several hours a week, or obviously if you do, it means something to your life and it's a part of your life. And if you can submit that information to him, you know, in several lines, and what the loss would mean to you, that would be appreciated. But you might also send copies to WYRS, and their address is 117 Prospect Street, Stamford, 06901. Now we got one more address to go.
And that's yours, right?
It's ours.
Okay.
And the name of the organization is the Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio. The address is 1 Strawberry Hill Avenue, 1 Strawberry Hill Avenue, apartment 6E, Stamford. It's all based in the same city. It's Stamford 06902. Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio, 1 Strawberry Hill Avenue, apartment 6E, Stamford 06902. We would appreciate any copies of any letters that are sent either to Mr. Donahue at his home address or directly to the station, because we would like to develop a mailing list and be able to keep in touch with people and so forth, even after the license changes hands, because this will not end then.
Right. One other quick question. How did you personally get involved in this little struggle?
How did I get involved in this? Well, I've been listening to radio most of my life very seriously, especially from a format perspective, more than technical.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very seriously keeping up with formats. Back in 1974, I became involved with the situation concerning WNCN, a 24-hour classical station in New York, and WQIV, which was a progressive rock. The format change that took place there. I was involved in beginning a group called Classical Radio for Connecticut, which was a listener group that, along with the WNCN Listeners Guild, had a petition drive and a legal case going for 9 months that we did win the case in 1975 in August, and the station was bought by the GAF Corporation and has been a classical station since. Since then, Classical Radio for Connecticut has been involved in challenging the Federal Communications Commission on deregulation of radio in the Supreme Court, and that's a subject in itself.
Yeah, it certainly is.
And we lost.
Uh-huh.
But we also challenged the only full-time classical station in Hartford that went to top 40, and that battle lasted 5 years. And unfortunately, it came down, we lost that one also. But what has happened since then is, this is not a project of the group I just mentioned concerning WYRS, but I have been very concerned for years about diversity and the people's right to hear what they want to instead of being fed different versions of the same thing all over the dial. And I've been very concerned about how people are treated on the radio, I mean the audience. And when I had known for years about the case concerning the two stations, when I heard that they were about to be sold, and I've been a serious listener to WYRS, I knew its history pretty well, an article came out in a paper called the Fairfield Advocate just before Thanksgiving saying, you know, what will happen to jazz if this station is sold. And several people, you know, just got involved in starting this group, and I was kind of sitting at home wondering, gee, couldn't something like this get started? And it did, just around Thanksgiving time, and we formed together around December 6th. I would like to say, though, at the same time that, as is the case in the two groups that I mentioned before and with the Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio, we do not want to deprive anyone of their right to make maximum profit in commercial radio. But we feel, since the FCC has decided that the public does not have any right to go before the commission and get them involved in format cases, they feel all the decisions will be made in the marketplace by broadcasters. We feel that we must work within the marketplace and convince the new owner to stay with this format, that he will have an audience of all ages and all economic and social backgrounds, and an audience just like classical music that will not make you number one in Arbitron ratings, but it will be devoted and will do anything to protect their radio station. And these are some of the many things we are involved in trying to convince the new owner, and we feel we need support from the public, you know, obviously, in order to do this. And this is the first effort, as far as I know, since the FCC decision with the Supreme Court of going to the marketplace, that a group like this has formed to work within that structure as opposed to an adversary group.
I see. Well, that's very interesting. Well, we here at Long Island's non-commercial alternative, we're WUSB. We've been batting around so many different names at different radio stations and haven't mentioned ourselves once. We here wish you the best of luck in your cause.
I would like to say one other thing.
Oh, yes, please do.
Which is usually the hardest subject to end, but we are in bad, dire need of money.
Oh, okay, and so we have your address. It's the Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio, 1 Strawberry Hill Avenue, Stamford. Oh, that's apartment 6E?
Yes.
Stamford, Connecticut, 06902. So if you feel the urge to dig down in your pocket, because, well, you're all volunteers there. Is that
None of us work for the station, and none of us have ever been employed there or anything. This is a total voluntary effort. We need this money because we would like to get more ads out in papers. We would like to eventually hold a public meeting. I'd like to say that the reason I am, it might sound strange that I am sitting on a radio station that's based in Long Island talking about a Connecticut station.
Oh, no, we don't look at it that way. If people in Long Island listen to the station, then you have every right to be here talking about it yourself.
I was going to say that I saw the station's coverage maps, a lot of which was determined from their phone calls of, when they take requests, and they do cover the North Shore of Long Island very well, and they have a lot of listeners, and they get a lot of phone calls from the North Shore of the island. There's another interesting story, which is that there's someone out in Massapequa Park who wrote a 9-page letter to the new owner. Outlining every aspect of the format. I thought, unless you're really in a hurry, I could talk about different aspects of the format with you.
Oh, go ahead.
I think it's very important to talk about the differences between this situation and the WRVR situation. WRVR, for one thing, the announcers were unaware until about an hour and a half before the change that they were going country.
Right.
For another, WRVR is owned by a major corporation called the Viacom, and a lot of you on Long Island may know of them because of cable television. They are one of the biggest cable conglomerates in the United States. They bought a number of radio stations a few years ago from a company called Sonderling, which owned WRVR and WWRL in New York. I'm throwing call letters around, but I could do it on a non-commercial station.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason that we are going through this whole effort here is, in Viacom, you wouldn't know where to go, who to get in touch with, or even, for all we know, the radio division might be in the middle of Southern California. And you wouldn't know who to get in touch with or where. In a situation like this, the people that are buying WYRS live in the city of license, live in the Stamford area.
Mm-hmm.
You know directly where to go and who to get in touch with. The differences as far as format with the two stations are, WRVR basically played top-selling albums only and was very structured in what they played. WYRS takes a lot of their broadcast week and teaches the history of jazz. Does programs like The Roots of Jazz that chronologically go through the history of the music. They have managed to turn thousands of people onto this American art form of all ages that may have never heard it before the way it should be heard. They also, of course, have, one night a week they have requests, and they also have a program one night a week where they take phone calls on the air. They play new records, a couple of cuts from different albums, and they take phone calls on the air where people call in and make their comments, and sometimes that is used in a small way to determine what they're going to play.
Hmm.
And it's been very interesting to listen to the many very intelligent people, and there's another very important aspect to this format, which is for the first time in any attempt to do jazz on a commercial basis, musicians have access to the airwaves. There's never been an attempt on a commercial basis where a station gave musicians time to come on and be interviewed intelligently and speak their mind and prove that there's more to them than just the notes that they play on their instrument. And they are given that time and have been given that time for months. They've been interviewed in clubs and also up at the studios of the station. The reason I'm bringing all of this up is we found in the past few months that there are a lot of people who say, well, what's it worth? What's it worth fighting this? Look at what happened to RVR. Why should we do it again? This is a very different situation. This is a very unique radio station, and to my way of thinking, will probably be the last attempt on a commercial basis at doing this kind of music 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's locally based, and It also has done a lot for the growth of clubs in Fairfield County. I went to see Houston Person and Etta Jones recently. Houston Person is a tenor saxophonist and Etta Jones is a vocalist at a club in Darien, Connecticut. When the club started advertising on the station, they were doing jazz, live jazz, one night a week. As time went on, they went to six nights a week, and the night I was there, and they were really filled up, they had very good turnout, they announced they were going seven nights a week.
Mm-hmm. So then you attribute this to the jazz station in Stamford?
Very much so. Because if this station changes format, clubs like that one, and concert halls and so forth, will have no outlet to go to mention their concerts and get information out about what is going on in these clubs. And I met the owner, you know, and I asked him, and he said the station has been very encouraging in, you know, getting him to continue with jazz. And, you know, as a result of the turnout and so forth, he went to seven nights a week. I think it's done a lot to contribute to the growth of the area, and I think it's a very important cultural resource. And, you know, in this day, when, you know as well as I do, we are getting different versions of the same thing up and down the radio dial. I mean, not that it shouldn't be heard. I think all kinds of things should be heard on the radio. I think commercial radio is having a problem finding an identity right now. And they're all, you know, in many instances, they're years behind in their formats, the way they're doing them. But this is a very unique station and is doing a lot for radio in the area and for the growth of the area in general. What I'm saying through this long speech is to encourage people that this can be done. It's been done in the past, and this is a smaller organization that is buying it, and it's people can really prove that they're devoted to this radio station, and if you want a choice on the radio, then you have to get involved in proving that you're there to the owner through letters and basically showing the support, and that's what we're involved in. As I said, we hope to hold a public meeting later in the year, and I'd like to mention one other thing, if I could.
Go ahead.
We had a very significant thing happen Monday night, which was we put together a resolution, which we submitted to the Stamford Board of Representatives, which is very similar to, you know, the town governments on Long Island, like, you know, Brookhaven Town Board and so forth, or whatever Stony Brook has as government, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But we submitted a resolution asking the Board of Representatives to request that the new owner continue the current 24-hour jazz format on the station. We said, three of us from the group went to the meeting, and the meeting lasted until about, it started about 9 and lasted until about 2 o'clock in the morning. The resolution came up about 1:30 in the morning, and there were some real questions up there. We gave our reasons in the resolution, of what, as I have stated in this talk with you, and there were some questions. Some people objected, saying that the board should not, Board of Representatives should not look into this because they would be dictating to the media, which wasn't the case. We wanted to another way to show that the public, we were representing the public interest, and that there were people in this area that wanted that radio station. The resolution was passed by a vote of 23-4, 3 against, and 3 abstentions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, years ago in the FCC, that would have, you could have used that as legal ground if you were challenging a license or questioning a format change. Today, that doesn't hold any weight since everything is in the marketplace. But what it does, since this person who's buying the station is a local resident, it puts him on notice that, you know, that there are people politically and so forth in the coverage area of the station that are very concerned about its future.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an important achievement, I'm sure. Well, we're just about out of time for this part of the segment. Larry Stoller?
Yes. That's
you. I thank you very much. Do you have anything quickly that you might want to mention before I hang up on you?
Okay, just two quick things quickly, which is, the addresses we gave, I just gave our...
I'll repeat them.
I hope you repeat them. But
yeah.
There is a phone number if anyone wishes to call during the week and has any questions or would like any further information. It's area code 203-325-2846. 325-2846, area code 203. And the best times to try are in the evening after 6 o'clock and... I would say in the morning hours up until around noon.
Okay.
I'll be happy to answer any questions. Okay. Any information. And my last comment is that I think the license will be changing hands on March 11th, but when the license changes hands, the support will be even more necessary because it will be his radio station, and we have to continue afterwards to approve it. We feel the station is very valuable and must be kept as a current, as a 24-hour jazz station, and if it does stay that way, it will survive and continue and grow for years.
Well, thank you very much, Larry Stoller.
Thank you.
Okay, good night now. We've been speaking with Larry Stoller from the Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio. In case you missed his address, they're at number 1 Strawberry Hill Avenue, apartment 6E, Stamford, Connecticut, 06902. This is WUSB. We're in Stony Brook, New York. The phone number here is 516-246-7901. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley's in Washington. This is the voice of Long Island. This is Oscar Peterson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Albert Daly from an album called Textures, featuring Albert Daly, Rufus Reed, Eddie Gladden, and Arthur Rains. A song called Pogo. Just before that, we heard something from Oscar Peterson, The Shadow of Your Smile. And before that, an interview with Larry Stoller from Friends of WYRS Jazz Radio. Incidentally, the views expressed during that interview were those of those expressing them. Not necessarily those views of the station, WUSB Stony Brook, its licensee, or management. Its current licensee or management. We're owned and operated by the State University of New York at Stony Brook. And I don't think there's going to be anything... I don't think there's any movement for somebody to buy the station. Sure hope not, at least. Well, don't go away. We've got all sorts of neat things coming up. We've got something from Bunky and Spunky. We've got the Tripod family coming up. Can't forget them. We'll try to get them on before 1:30, or if not quite soon thereafter. In the meantime, here's some music from Ray Charles. That's Ray Charles. It's a rather interesting thing there, huh? One Man Julep. Well, it's about 3 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time. And you're tuned to USB FM, the voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Crawley's not with us today. In fact, he's actually in Washington, D.C., of all places. What did I say? 3 minutes past one. That's Eastern Standard Time, right? Wonder what it is in, say, Portland, Oregon. Now, hang on a second. Let me just get my telephone here. Dial this up. I'm calling an information operator to find out what the number is for the time in Portland, Oregon.
City?
Portland, please.
Yes.
Could you tell me the number for the time?
The time number in Portland?
Yes, please.
It's 229-1212. It's 3 minutes after 10.
Three minutes after 10?
Yep.
Oh, geez, now I don't have to call.
Okay.
Well, thanks, you've been a real pal. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. It's 3 minutes past 10 in Portland, Oregon. And right here in Stony Brook, it's 3 minutes past 1. Well, it's 4 minutes past 1 right now. But that shows our clock is fairly accurate, at least with the Portland, Oregon operator's clock. Playing all this jazz stuff, we'll get back to it in a little while. Actually, in about an hour or so, right after the news, we're going to have one of our memorable album sides, and we're going to be hearing a side from an album by the Widespread Depression Orchestra. In case you've heard of them, or in case you haven't heard of them, they're fairly local, well, the New York metropolitan area band. They play in places around here, I suppose. I've never had a chance to actually see them. But those who have, in fact, tell me that they're quite stupendous. They play a lot of old-time big band candy-sounding stuff with, what, four, five, six guys or something like that, six or seven guys. And so that will be playing one side from their first album. That'll be up after 2 o'clock, about an hour or so, right after the news. We got, like I said, we got the tripods coming. We got some stuff from Bunky and Spunky. We've got the Rastafarians. Wow.
Thank you. Baby, you'll be right here with me, baby.
Cornell Campbell, Boxing Around. Before that, we heard something from an album called Raiders of the Lost Dub, which is a compilation of dubbed versions of recent Mango releases. We heard something from the dub version of Spongy Reggae by Black Uhuru. And we began with the Rastafarians. We heard Occupation. We've had about enough as much as we can take of you. That's Cornell Campbell. Now, from time to time, we here at WUSB getting these little announcements from the Department of the Navy, Fleet Hometown News Center in Norfolk, Virginia. News releases. So if we'd bring up the appropriate music. Navy Aviation Support Equipment Technician Second Class Rodney D. Braher, son of Philip F. and Susie T. Braher of Medford, New York, recently returned from a deployment to the Mediterranean Sea. He is a crew member aboard the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Nimitz, homeported in Norfolk, Virginia. During the six-month deployment, his ships conducted various exercises with other 7th Fleet units and those of allied nations. Port calls were made in Italy, Tunisia, Israel, and Spain. The Nimitz is 1,092 feet long and carries a crew of 3,300, plus an additional 3,000 men assigned to the carrier air wing. A graduate of Patchogue Medford High School, Braher joined the Navy in September of 1975. Marine Lance Corporal Joseph F. Huber, son of Joseph J. and Arlene Huber of Comac, New York, has reported for duty with the 7th Communication Battalion on Okinawa. A 1978 graduate of Comac High School, he joined the Marine Corps in March 1980. Navy Construction Electrician Construction Man Apprentice Michael E. Bongiorno, son of Joseph A. and Jean Bongiorno of Huntington, New York, was graduated from the Basic Construction Electricians School. The 11-week course was conducted at Naval Construction Training Center, Gulfport, Mississippi. He received instruction on the skills and technical requirements to install, maintain, and repair generators, transformers, and power lines. They studied circuitry, electrical theory, and safety procedures. Navy Hospital Corpsman, 3rd Class, Joseph E. Balzer, son of Eileen and Edward Smith of Shirley, New York, recently returned from a deployment to the Mediterranean Sea. He is a crew member aboard the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Nimitz, homeported in Norfolk, Virginia, same as that other fellow from Medford. Marine Lance Corporal Brian D. Schwartz, son of Charles Schwartz of Fort Jefferson Station, New York, recently participated in Combined Arms Firing Exercise 82 in Pohang, Korea. He is a member of the 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines on Okinawa. The three-month exercise featured tactical training exercises in mountain warfare techniques, mechanized operations, night tactics, live fire exercises, and cold weather training. The exercise was conducted jointly with Republic of Korea Marines. Schwartz joined the Marine Corps in July 1979. Marine First Lieutenant John D. Murphy, Jr., son of Shirley H., and John D. Murphy, Sr., of Port Jefferson, New York, recently deployed to Norway to participate in the NATO exercise Alloy Express. He is a platoon commander with Company A, Battalion Landing Team 2/2, 36th Marine Amphibious Unit, That's M-A-U in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Alloy Express involves Marines from the Netherlands, England, Germany, and the United States, as well as Army forces from Norway. It is designed to gain realistic training in combined amphibious landings and subsequent operations ashore in an Arctic environment. The six-day exercise will include two practice landings and an amphibious assault on northern Norway. Oh, my God. Did I read that correctly? An amphibious assault on northern Norway? What is the United States Navy doing to us? They're going to assault Norway, that's what the thing says. What are they going to do, assault it with frogs or toads? Gee, if I lived in Norway, I'd know, I'd be gone.
Would you sell your soul for the money? I'm here with another hard-hitting Bunky and Smokey report. Our good buddy Mike Wallace put us onto this story of the latest scam that's bilking everyone. It's the chocolate chain letter. Now, this is how it works. You get a letter in the mail with a list of names on it. You're supposed to send a chocolate bar to the guys whose names are on top, add your name to the bottom, and send the letter on to a bunch of other folk. Then you sit back and wait for the chocolate bars to come rolling in. But guess what? They never do. Now, if you're a regular Sherlock Holmes, like yours truly, you'll have guessed that only the con artists who started the chain ever get the chocolate. All the poor boys and girls wind up giving away the chocolate bars they saved up all winter. So if you get a chocolate chain letter in the mail, don't wait. Report it to the Coast Guard immediately and tell them Bunky sent you. That's all for now, gang.
Thank you.
That's something from the Tony Rice unit. On the Voice of Long Island, you know we got the Tripod family coming up in just a matter of minutes. Here's something from Mikey Dredd. Just what we need. We need somebody to do that. Yes, to turn the tape deck to 3 3/4 instead of 7.5. Well, luckily we have something else queued up, and we'll get the tripods here in just another couple of minutes. I promise.
For me, that's really hard to say. Like sometimes I'm not really sure I even know. What's the difference being different? What is difference now that it looks like you say I'm changing? I'm not sure that's wrong. Today it may be natural, sitting here discussing it. Tomorrow just as natural to be gone. What crazy patterns do we follow, sitting knee to knee upon some riverbank somewhere at supper time? The evening air is moving like molasses towards a sticky night, so easy as I press your hand in mine. What's the difference being different when it's difference now that it looks alike? You say I'm changing, I'm not sure that's wrong. It's just the center line on this highway runs up my bandy neck, and I feel somehow that it's natural to be gone. Difference now that it looks like you say I'm changing, I'm not sure that's wrong. Today it may be natural, sitting here discussing it. Tomorrow just as natural to be gone.
Complete and total agreement with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the episodes of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we rejoin Pop in the Tripod suburban home on Long Island, and as we join him with his new friend...
I don't know if anyone's told you this before, but you're one of the strangest-looking dogs that was ever created. What I can't understand is why they call you a wonder dog. What do you do that's so wonderful? You don't know any tricks. You don't know how to sit down, or lie up, or stand down, or lie down. You're not even house-trained. I don't know, maybe I was wrong. Well, I wonder who there could... Toby, calm down! Stop attacking that door! What was the word that the inspector gave me to make you stop acting so damn vicious? It was some household utensil or something. Oh, let me think. Something in the closet. No, what could that be? Light bulbs! No, that wasn't it. Iron! No, that wasn't it. Old newspapers! No, I think I got a coat hanger! Yeah, that was it. By golly, I knew I wouldn't forget. Yeah, who are you?
I've got a package for you, Mac. Yeah, you care to sign for it?
What kind of package is it?
It looks like something from the Book of the Week Club. I think it's the memoirs of the former sanitation supervisor.
Confound it all! When will those people leave me alone? I paid my bill, and I told them I don't want any more books. Stupid books! I hate them! Get out of here and leave me alone! Of all the nerve. As if I didn't have enough things to worry about. Oh, will you stop that howling? I can't concentrate on anything with that noise. And I have to get the house clean by the time Howard and Kathy get back. And who knows when that'll be. Oh, it sure is a mess. And most of it's because of you. Damn. Oh, confound it. If I wanted a dog, I would have gotten myself a nice Dolly. Or a Beagle or something. Oh, I don't even know what you are, but if
I'm back.
Oh, no, Toby, stop it. Don't attack them. They live here. Oh,
what's going on?
What's that word? Vacuum cleaner. No, that wasn't it. Fly sweater. No. Confounder, what was that word?
What's going on here? We're being attacked by dogs in our own house.
Oh, a fine welcome home this is.
Now, what in tarnation is this all about?
Wait a minute. I got it. Coat hanger. Yeah, I remembered it again.
Would you mind explaining what this is all about, Pop? Who is this dog, and what's he doing here in our house?
Attacking members of the family as if we were burglars.
As if we haven't been through enough already.
His name is Toby, the Wonder Dog. He's here to protect me.
Protect you? From what?
Well, according to the local police department, I'm being stalked by assassins.
What? Assassins? Pop, what are you talking about?
Well, about a week ago, somebody knocked on our front door, and Charlie, he happened to be here, he opened it, and he was shot. No one understands why, but the police department thinks they were out to get me.
You?
Why would anyone want to shoot you?
Or Charlie, or any of us.
I don't know, but that's what Toby the Wonder Dog is here for, to protect me.
Well, it sure looks like we've missed a lot while we were away, Kathy.
I'll say. After all we went through in France, I thought things would start to calm down a little.
You should know better, Kathy, especially in this family. But Pop, how come Charlie answered our door in the first place?
Well, we were discussing our newest business enterprise. Yeah, it was going to work out pretty good, too. Oh. We were going to make bread and deliver it to all over Long Island using Charlie's Bulgarian step van.
A Bulgarian step van? Where did he get the money for that?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Remember that statue you broke, Kathy? Well, hidden inside it was thousands and thousands of dollars worth of treasure.
What?
Oh, my goodness, you're kidding.
Then there really was a treasure in one of the statues. Boy, what a coincidence.
I wonder if Uncle Jonathan knew about that.
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. Just 1 minute.
What?
What's all this about Uncle Jonathan? And just where have you been all this time?
Well, Pop, we've got quite a story for you. In fact, you better sit down for this one. Here, let me take your coat first, Kathy, since we're here to stay now. I'll be back as soon as I put this coat on the coat hanger.
And so Howard and Kathy arrive back home on Long Island, only to meet Pop and his new friend, Toby the Wonder Dog. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Pop say...
I forgot to tell you, Howard, that word works both ways.
That's next time on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a mutual presentation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms and Radio Free Long Island. This is Don Topeka.
Music from Larry Carlton from the new LP Sleepwalk, a song called Upper Kern. Well, and you heard the tripods before that. And you heard John Hartford. Yeah, a couple of things there. Well, it's 1:57 a.m., 3 degrees Celsius. That's 37 Fahrenheit. Time now for a look at the latest in the USB news. It circles the northern hemisphere from Wyoming to Costa Rica. It contains about 1 million tons of debris, yet is so thin it can't be seen with the naked eye. It's a mysterious cloud, and scientists want to find out where it came from. Saturday, a U-2 spy plane takes off from the National Guard facility in Topeka, Kansas. Beneath its wing will be some equipment to collect particles from the cloud, particles that officials hope will solve the mystery. Owen Toon, a scientist at NASA's Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California, says it was probably caused by a volcanic eruption in Asia or the Pacific. Toon said it shouldn't affect the weather, but he adds it should make for some colorful twilights in less than 3 weeks. On March 22nd, eyes at NASA should be looking up again, this time to watch the planned blast-off of the space shuttle Columbia. Technicians are still loading the shuttle with fuel, and officials say they should be done by Sunday night. Fans of comedian John Belushi are crying, not laughing. The former star of Saturday Night Live died Friday in Los Angeles, where he was to film his latest movie. Garrett Morris, a fellow member of the Not Ready for Prime Time Players, described Belushi's death as a great loss of a great talent. The security guard at the hotel where Belushi died says it looks like he choked to death on some food. Belushi was 33. The FBI is being credited with talking a gunman into surrendering Friday after he held 66 people hostage for more than 6 hours in a Davis, California bank. Authorities say 5 armed agents crept into the Bank of America, posing as bank employees. One of them talked Eric Roberts into unloading his 20-gauge shotgun and giving himself up. By that time, all the hostages had either been released or had sneaked out. The federal government wants to let the states decide whether to distribute special protective pills that could help people in the event of an accident at a nuclear facility. The tablets contain potassium iodide, and the Food and Drug Administration says they could prevent thyroid cancer if taken before exposure to radioactivity. Gold prices in New York are at their lowest level in 2.5 years. The price of gold Friday fell $10.50 an ounce to $333.40 an ounce. Well, it's being compared to Sherman's March across the South, except this time they're talking about the South American fire ants. A report in the Miami Herald says the rapid advance of the insects through the South is at least partly due to the chemical spraying program launched to control it. One researcher says the spraying encourages the invasion it was supposed to prevent. But federal officials deny that more than 130 million acres from Texas to Florida and north into the Carolinas have been sprayed. The infamous terrorist Carlos is said to be demanding that the French government free 2 of his comrades. Officials say they know that the letter containing the threat is authentic, but because Carlos put his thumbprints and signature on it. Officials say Carlos threatened not to personally attack the French government if his friends are not released within 30 days, or something like that. Manhattan District Attorney Robert Morgenthau says a stolen credit card ring was shattered this week with the arrest of 31 people, about half of them employees of Manhattan shops. Morgenthau says the suspects were involved in buying, selling, and using the stolen credit cards. Speaking at a news conference in Manhattan yesterday, Morgenthau said undercover investigators recovered at least 103 stolen cards and bought 52 more during the investigation. past, illegal use of those cards could have cost area banks several hundred thousand dollars a year. The prosecutor says the banks estimate they lose more than $3 million annually through transactions involving stolen credit cards. Officials say 11 of those arrested operated from the Magic Q, a midtown pool hall, as dealers in stolen cards. Morgenthau called the establishment at 1482 Broadway a virtual clearinghouse for stolen credit cards. He also says the alleged dealers would buy the cards from muggers at about $50 apiece and then sell them for more, depending on how much credit was available on a card. Investigators armed with phony stolen credit cards provided by banks tried to use them in local stores in an attempt to snare people who knowingly accept such cards. Morgenthau said the cards were obviously phony, usually stamped with an unpronounceable name that the investigator obviously could not pronounce while presenting the card as his own. The actual charges lodged against the 31 include criminal possession of forged instruments, grand larceny, and criminal possession and attempted criminal possession of stolen property. Penalties range from a maximum of 1 to 7 years in prison upon conviction. Morgenthau says the investigation was begun because we wanted to get the people who were dealing in stolen cards and providing the market for street thieves to dispose of stolen property. He says other fences are being sought. See, now we've got a couple of final scores here for you. Let's see. In the NBA, Philadelphia 89, Atlanta 80. And New Jersey 107, Chicago 90. A couple of scores there for you. Well, it's 2:04 in the morning, and you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Mike Uhas, and, Eric Corley's not here with us tonight. He is, in fact, in Washington, D.C., Greater Washington, D.C. He's in a conference. Something like that. Well, it's time for our memorable album side. We're going to hear side one, side A, from the Widespread Depression Orchestra, their LP Downtown Uproar. Songs we're going to hear in just a minute are Topsy, Tain't What You Do, It's the Way That You Do It, Daydream, Reefer Man, and Hollywood Stampede. Right here on 90.1 FM. But before we get into that, I'd just like to say that we have a pair of tickets for you to see the Rockettes at North Stage later on today. If you'd like them from us, just call 246-7901, be the third caller, and they're your tickets. And here is the Widespread Depression Orchestra on USB FM.
kid, about 3:30. My daddy said, son, come here to me. He said, things may come and things may go. There's one thing you ought to know.
Tain't what you do.
It's the way that you do it.
Tain't what you do.
It's the way that you do it.
Tain't what you do.
It's the way that you do it.
That's what gets me
some. Mama.
Tain't what you do.
It's the time that you do it.
Tain't what you do.
It's the time that you do it.
Tain't what you do.
It's the time that you do it.
That's what gets me some.
Oh,
you can try hard. Don't mean a thing.
Don't mean a thing.
Make it easy.
Oh, easy.
When you got that swing, whoa,
whoa,
take what you do.
It's the place that you do it.
Take what you do.
It's the place that you do it.
Take what you do.
It's the place that you do it.
That's what gets it all.
have you ever met that funny reefer man? Funny trade you done for nickels, he called watermelon pickles. Oh, you know you met that dog, that reefer man. Have you ever met that funny, funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Well, they say he walks the ocean every time he takes a notion. He must be tight like that, that reefer man. You on the bone, you ever met that man? You mean you never met that little reefer man? If he said he swam to China, tried to sell you South Carolina, you know you're talking to that reefer man. I sure would like to meet that reefer man. Yes, I'd like to meet that little reefer man. If I hear him sniff and giggle, and he's dodging the squirming wind, then I know I'm dealing with that reefer man. Yes, I'm well acquainted with that reefer man. Yes, boys, I'll help you find that reefer man. If any of you folks are Columbia bound, I wish you'd bring me back about a pound for that good old Colombian reefer man. Yes, I'm well acquainted with that reefer man. Yes, I'm well acquainted with that reefer man. I dreamed about a reefer 9 feet long, not 2 miles, mighty strong, just the way I like it from the reefer man.
Widespread Depression Orchestra. That's side A of their first LP, Downtown Uproar. We heard Topsy, Tain't What You Do, It's the Way You Do It. Daydream, Reefer Man, and Hollywood Stampede. The Widespread Depression Orchestra featuring folks like Dean Nikiaper on tenor, Michael Hashim on alto, David Lilly on baritone, Jordan Sankey on trumpet, Tim Atherton on trombone, Phil Flanagan on bass, John Ellis on drums, Michael Ladon on piano, and Johnny Holzman on vibes and vocals. 2:23 in the morning, you're tuned to 90.1 FM, USB FM. I'm Mike Uhas. I'll be here till about 3 o'clock with Eric Corley. Well, of course, Corley's not here right now. He's in Washington, D.C. He'll be back again next week, if it at all matters. But we're going to continue with music and all sorts of other swell things. Productions brings you this exciting installment of Swedes on Jupiter.
Erlof, go to the chemist's and get me some cardamom. I've run out, and you know how Sven likes his butter cookies.
Helga, you stupid bitch. We're on Jupiter now. I can't run out to get you some cardamom because there is no cardamom. I can't even run outside because it's all ammonia out there. Oh, we never should have listened to that Carl Sagan fella.
Again. Bum, 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 bum.
How may I help you?
Yes, operator. International information, please.
What country?
England.
A moment.
Thank you. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
What city is
it? We're looking for London.
Okay, one moment.
Thank you. Bum, 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 bum. Just one information, operator, that's all. Yes, operator, I need information on the number for the time. I beg your pardon?
What did you say again?
I need the number for the time. Talking clock.
Yeah, but that's only for people in London.
I still didn't get that.
It's only for people in London.
Oh, you mean I wouldn't be able to call it from overseas? Oh, well, perhaps could you give me a rough idea of what time it is now?
7:30.
Okay, 7:30. Well, thank you very much then. Okay.
Thank you.
Get that whistler out of here. Who brought him in here? Well, our time is up. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley, well, the bum, he's in Washington, D.C. Of all the nerve. We'll both be back at some form or another this time next week. Well, we'll be leaving this time next week. We'll be here from midnight to 3 a.m. next Friday night or Saturday morning. It's just about 8 o'clock in England, as we found out by calling up England a little while ago to determine what time it was. That's very interesting that you can't call the time from anywhere else but London. In London, can't call the London time. Well, wonders never cease. It's very interesting. I found it interesting. Well, Mike Uhas here for Eric Corley. We'll both be back again next week. And it's been fun. It's Tony White, will you watch what you're doing? It's a Friday night, Saturday morning. We'll be back again, for sure, next time, live and awake. This is WUSB Stony Brook.
Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the local. When my feet go through the door, I know what time.
It's coming.